Friends, our gospel reading comes today from the Gospel of Matthew, beginning with chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Hear now these words. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to thee, O Christ. Well, like I said earlier, today is back to school Sunday, and my social media pages have been blowing up with pictures that some of you have posted of your adorable children and grandchildren getting ready for their first day of school. And if you've noticed, like I have, that this year's photos are not quite the same as from years past. This year's photos have been taken not in front of decorated classroom doors, but in your living rooms and your dining rooms. If you are a student or if your children are students, you have noticed and you have experienced that the first week of classes have been in front of computer screens for the most part. But like I said, this week marks the beginning of a new academic year. And when I was a student and when I was a teacher, this week was as exciting to me as New Year's Day is for many people. It was exciting because it came with a lot of new things. A new Big Chief tablet, new crayons, pencils, notebooks, and new expectations. There was the prospect of making new friends and learning and experiencing so many new things. There was the prospect of being the best teacher or the best student that I could be. And even if we aren't students or teachers, today still marks a time of new beginnings in our life. It's both exciting and is at the same time a bit bittersweet and sometimes disappointing. This year is not what we had expected or we had hoped for. There are still friends and family that we can't see, sports teams and extracurricular activities that we can't participate in. There are classrooms and offices that we can't enter. Some of you have moved into dorm rooms at the college of your dreams, but you're not able to meet most of your classmates yet. And yet, this can still be and still is an exciting time, full of promise and full of hope. As we begin this new year together, we are also beginning a three-week sermon series entitled Big Questions. We are going to look at the three biggest questions that we need to answer in order to start this new year and this new phase in our lives off well. These are questions that will lead us, I think, into a year of great hope for tomorrow and for a wonderful future. So let us pray, friends. Oh Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be acceptable and pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I think the first question that we need to consider today is the most important question of the day. It's the key question. It may be the most important question that we will ever answer. It's one that Jesus poses to his disciples and by extension to us. Who do you say that I am? And I think this question, how we answer this question, determines how we live out our daily lives, not only as individuals, but also as the church. The disciples of Jesus, students of Jesus, at this point in our scripture, have been with Jesus long enough that they have experienced his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. They have been eyewitnesses to every kind of healing of every disease. They have been present as Jesus fed the multitudes. They have weathered a storm on the Sea of Galilee and watched in awe as Peter gets out of the boat and begins to walk to Jesus on the water across the choppy, storm-filled waters. And then they watch in awe as Jesus calms those same waters. They have learned and they have seen a lot as students of Jesus. Now they are in Caesarea Philippi, in the shadow of a temple built to Caesar Augustus by Herod. And it is in the shadow of that temple, to one who liked to be called a god, that Jesus poses really two questions. The first one, he turns to the disciples and he asks, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they answer, as you've heard, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Obviously, the people have seen and heard of Jesus, and they have a high opinion of him. All of the men mentioned were great prophets, and Jesus has a touch point with each one of them. He touches them as a controversial preacher of the kingdom, like John the Baptist, as one who would reappear at the end of the age as a sign of the arrival of the day of the Lord, like Elijah. He is at odds with the religious leaders all the time, like Jeremiah, and he is one who spoke with great authority, as they all did. So many people saw in Jesus that day a great revolutionary prophet who sought justice for the marginalized, who was a great teacher, and whose life that they would do well to emulate. But they only saw him perhaps as a reflection of the religious past. Many people today, I think, say the same thing, don't you, about Jesus? But the description of him in the past and for some people today would stop there. Not so with Peter. Then Jesus asks the big question, the key question. "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon, whose nickname was Peter, Petros from the Greek, meaning rock, or Petra, meaning rock, he can't contain his excitement. He is as excited as a kid in the classroom waving his hand. I know, teacher, call on me. The thing is that all of the disciples know the answer. They have heard and seen and experienced the answer. After Jesus calms the storm on the Sea of Galilee and loads a soaking wet Peter back into the boat, they all worship him and they say, "Truly, you are the Son of God." They know the answer, and yet Peter answers for all of them, and he expands on that answer. "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Now, to say that Jesus is Messiah is loaded with meaning. Messiah comes from the Hebrew word meaning anointed, or in Greek, it's Christos, where we get the word Christ. The kings of Israel were anointed with oil. They were set apart for God's service. And Jesus, when we say Jesus, when Peter says Jesus is the Messiah, it's acknowledging that he is the long-awaited King of the Jews that will save them from their enemies. But Peter knows that he is much more than that. He is the Son of the living God, the one who gives life. He is Emmanuel, God with us, the one who created and is creating. He is Lord of all. Peter's confession, Jesus' question and Peter's confession is a turning point in Matthew's gospel. Jesus pivots this moment from teaching the disciples about himself and about the kingdom of God and who he is, and he turns now to preparing them, his students, for continuing his mission on earth when he is gone. He prepares them for a hope-filled future, even in the times when they might face bitter disappointments and controversies, and oh, will they ever. Jesus' conversation turns from the plural you, who do you all say that I am, y'all, to the singular as he addresses Simon Peter. You are blessed, Simon, because this answer that you gave was revealed to you by my Father, not because you are a brilliant student. You know the answer to that question because you have been in the presence and experienced Emmanuel, God with you in person. Theologian Thomas Long says that Peter's confession is an expression of a profound relationship. It's one that he has had with Jesus, one that developed as he sat every day in class at the foot of his teacher. So Jesus blesses Peter, and then he tells him, your name is Rock. And on this rock, on this solid ground that you are going to become, I will build my church. Peter, you are going to be the foundation stone. I'm the builder, but you are going to be the foundation stone, the principal leader and the teacher of this new community of faith. And we see this happening in the Gospel of Acts as Peter stands for the first time and he preaches a Pentecost sermon that brings thousands of people to belief in Jesus Christ. The student becomes a teacher of the faith who will hold, as Jesus says, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Now, when I came to work at the church, I was issued a set of keys, and I had kind of like this, only I started with just two keys. I had one key that opened the door to the church, and I had another key that opened my office. And through the years, I was issued additional keys. Keys to Wesley Hall, keys to Cox Chapel, keys to the sacristy, keys to the archives. At one point, I was given a master key, a key that would open almost any door. Almost, but not all. At one point, I had a very impressive ring of keys, much bigger than this. But you know who issued those keys? They were the guy with It was the guy with all of the keys, Robert Lee, who's our building services director. We on staff are issued keys. We are stewards of the keys that he gives us. And our job is to open doors for people, to let people into the doors of worship, into Bible studies, into the house of worship for weddings and funerals. Our job is to open doors that will help people access the sacraments. Now we are given virtual keys to Zoom meetings and Zoom Bible studies. All of this is to say that many people, I think, have misinterpreted that Peter, as the holder of the keys to the kingdom of heaven, see him more like the cartoon character that we see standing at the pearly gates, checking off names, deciding who gets in and who doesn't. When in actuality, Peter's job was to open the doors of the kingdom of heaven on earth, to open the doors of the kingdom to everyone, to allow everyone who would come near to hear him, to experience what he had to say about Jesus, to come into God's presence, to experience what the kingdom of God is like here and now. His job was to give everyone the opportunity to discover Emmanuel as he had. He was the rock, the teacher, the leader who was given the authority during that day in the early church to make decisions for the early church, sticky and hard decisions like abandoning food laws and circumcision requirements in order to be inclusive of the Gentiles. Peter was a steward of the keys. And as disciples, as the church, as the body of Christ, so are we, friends. The decisions we make as Christians together as the church, the body of Christ. The stands we take, the truths we teach, both in words and in actions, matter. These days are both exciting and difficult. We approach a new year with great anticipation, but also with some disappointment, with pain and grief around us. Sometimes it seems as if the coronavirus and evil and death and controversial politics and controversial church politics and the storms of life, those things that have the capacity to kill the joy in our lives, have prevailed. Those things sometimes we sense have the upper hand in our lives. And on days like this, Jesus stands in front of us and asks, "But who do you say that I am? Remember who I am." You know the answer. In those moments when I myself am confronted with the questions yet again, with disappointments, when hope seems to be fading, and I answer that question, "Who do you say that I am?" I remember something that we all know, that Peter and his disciples had not yet experienced, but they would. I remember and I know that Jesus has conquered and prevailed, as Jesus says in Matthew's gospel, the gates of death. Matthew calls it Hades. Jesus has conquered the gates of death. And Hades was not a place of punishment. It was a place of the dead. Jesus conquered death and all that threatens to drain the life out of our lives and all that threatens to drain the life out of us as a church body and as a community of faith. Jesus' church, Jesus tells Peter, will prevail. The gates of death will not hold up against it. So like Peter, we as the church, those who confess Jesus as Messiah, the Son of the living God, those who confess him as Lord of all, are called to be a rock. We're called to be stewards of the keys of the kingdom. We are to continue as rocks, to be both student and teacher. We're to be teachers of all that Jesus has taught us and commanded us. We are to keep confessing through words and actions the hope that we have in him. We are to unlock as many doors as possible, to fling them open wide so that others can experience his presence. And we don't decide who's in and who's out. That's Jesus' job. We're just the steward of the keys. We just open doors. And when the friend calls who feels alone or abandoned or forgotten or who has lost hope that the future will be brighter, you will be their rock. You have the keys to open life and hope to them. We and others in the church are also your rock. When you have those moments in your life, Jesus doesn't promise that we will never face challenges or controversies. Instead, he promises us as the church and as individuals that he will be with us, as it says in the end of Matthew's gospel. He will be with us to the end of the age. And so as we begin this new season, it may not be what we had hoped for, what we had anticipated, but we can know that there are blessings ahead. There are still friends to be made. There are lessons to be learned. There's new life ahead. Jesus is with us. I think this passage reminds us that as we face the future, that we each need the church, not the building, but the church community, and the church needs you. We need the church, you need the church, the community of faith, to remind you, to remind us that all that threatens to rob us of life and joy and peace and hope and justice, all of those things that make up the kingdom of heaven on earth. All of those things that try to rob us of that, those things that are death-inducing, has been already defeated by Christ. And those things won't prevail. They won't last. There is hope for tomorrow. And again, the church needs you to open doors to the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, to open doors to all you encounter. So each and every day, my hope for you is that you will, before you strike out for class or for work or for teaching your children in front of a computer screen, I hope that every day you will think to answer this question that Jesus poses to us every day. But who do you say that I am? It will be the most important question that you answer each new day of your life. Amen.